had a Great Commission Sunday where we were challenged in Sunday school, morning service, and evening service about the Great Commission. Pastors challenged us about handing out our church invitations that you see in the chair backs in front of us. And we have prayed corporately the last few Sunday evenings about being that church without walls, reaching out to our community. And I just want to share several thoughts, lessons in soul winning, if you may, from chapter 4 of John this evening. If we want to find out how to do something, you go to an expert. And I believe the greatest expert on soul winning was the Lord Jesus Himself. And here we have a great example of how to lead someone to the Lord. And we have a great example in John chapter 3 as well. In fact, the book of John, we could go through and study Jesus' call on His disciples and then His midnight meeting with Nicodemus. But here in chapter 4, most of you know the story. We won't take the time, because of time this evening, to read through all the verses. But most of you know the story of the Samaritan woman that He meets at the well and talks to her. And I just want to share several quick thoughts with you. In verse 4, where the disciples were moving along, and He says, He must needs go through Samaria. Now, you know, the Jews many times did not go through Samaria. The Samaritans were considered half-breeds, and the Jews didn't want anything to have to do with the Samaritans. But Jesus said, it's mentioned here, that He must needs go through Samaria. One thing I want you to notice, just a short thoughts again this evening. Jesus went where the prospect was. He went to Samaria. He went to the city there of Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, it says in verse 5, and Jacob's well was there. We often do door-to-door soul winning. Our teenagers will be out passing out church invitations this coming Wednesday. Jesus was going well to well. That's a different variation of it. And again, the Jews would sometimes avoid this area, but we can't just put our sign out front and say, come visit us. Right now, I think the sign says, join us Sunday mornings at 9:45 on one side of it. But that doesn't mean that all of Rocky Mount is suddenly going to show up on Sunday morning. We have to go. In fact, the commission, the Great Commission, doesn't say, put up a sign and wait for folks to show up. It says to go. Go out into the highways and hedges, Luke 14:23. Jesus is sharing a parable there, and he says, the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. A former missionary to China said, the Great Commission is not just about traveling to the ends of the earth. It's about coming to the end of ourselves, our wealth, our power, our ability, and our lives. Commission follows radical, obedient surrender to the activity of God's Spirit in our lives. And there's no doubt that God wants us to share our witness with those around us. We need to shed our pride, our inhibitions, our fear, and our go, and just go. C.T. Studd, the great missionary to China, said, some wish to live within the sound of a church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. We ought to have the attitude that we're going to go after those that are lost and let them know about the love of Christ. We have the message that the world needs. The world spends all their time watching the TV and checking out the latest news and getting all involved in politics. I can tell you, no politician in Washington, D.C., unless he's a saved or he or she is a saved man, has anything that we need more than what we have in Jesus Christ. So Jesus went where the prospect was. You've heard the old saying, if you want to catch fish, go where the fish are. And there are fish all around us, spiritually speaking, people who need to know the message of salvation. Notice, secondly, Jesus talked to a woman that many others would not talk to. I hinted at that just a moment ago. The Jews really didn't like the Samaritans. They would sometimes walk miles out of the way just to avoid going through Samaria and avoiding any interaction with them. And what a sad state of affairs that was. But sometimes we're the same shape. Sometimes we avoid people that don't match our background or our ethnicity or whatever it may be. Neighbors, we prefer some neighbors over others maybe. But the message needs to go to everyone. James warns us in the book of James not to have respect of persons. He talks about if someone come in and is poorly clothed and then another person comes in with rich apparel and you say to the one who's poorly clothed, you go sit over there in the corner or sit at the footstool. And the one who's dressed nicely, you have the chief seat here. And he warns us about respect of persons. General Robert E. Lee was a follower of Christ and said that soon after the end of the Civil War, he was visiting a church in Washington, D.C., and during one part of the service, he knelt down beside a black man there at the altar. And an onlooker said to him later, "How could you do that?" And Lee replied, "My friend, all ground is level beneath the cross." We need to put aside every prejudice, every bias we might have, and share the gospel with anyone and everyone the Lord puts in our path, because those are divine appointments. Mahatma Gandhi, in his autobiography, wrote that he studied during his student days the Gospels and seriously considered converting to Christianity. He believed that the teachings of Jesus could find the solution to the caste system that was dividing the people of India and Hinduism. So one Sunday he decided to attend a nearby church and talk to the minister maybe about becoming a Christian. But when he entered the auditorium, an usher refused to give him a seat and suggested that he go worship with his own people. Gandhi left the church and never returned. He said in his autobiography, "If Christians have caste differences also, I might as well remain a Hindu." That usher's prejudice not only betrayed Jesus, but also turned a person away from trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. Jesus went where some would not go. He talked to one others would not talk to. And then notice, thirdly, he offered her the gift of salvation. In verse 13, Jesus said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water," the water you're drawing from this well, "shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Jesus told Nicodemus in the previous chapter, "Ye must be born again." He tells this woman, "You need to drink of this living water." We have the message, again, that the world needs. We have an obligation to share it with everyone. One preacher gave this illustration. He said, "Someone leaves me a gift to give to you while he or she is away, but I never give it to you. Both you and that someone who gave me the gift will be upset with me later." Well, Jesus left earth over 2,000 years ago and left a gift for Christians to pass along to everyone else. Will he and those around us be upset with us one day for not sharing? We have the greatest gift available to give to our world. So Jesus offered her the gift of salvation, and Jesus confronted her sin also in a loving way. And down in verses 16 through 24, you remember the story. He says, "Go and call your husband." And she says, "I don't have a husband." And he says, "Well, you said that right. You're just living with one man now, and you've had five husbands before." And she goes on to say, "I perceive that you're a prophet." And she comes to an even greater perception later on. But Jesus confronted her sin in a loving way. He tests her sincerity. He asked a question something like we may ask, "If you stood before God right now, why would he let you into heaven?" And we need to help the sinner realize that he or she is a sinner in a loving way. Take people where they are. This woman went from disrespect, really, thinking about this man's a Jew. He's not going to want to have anything to do with me, and so I don't want to have much to do with him, probably. She went from disrespect to respect for this man, Jesus, to thinking Christ was a prophet, to ultimately realizing that he was the Messiah. Too many people worry about trying to get people cleaned up first. You've heard the old saying, we catch the fish and let Jesus clean them. He does a much better job at cleaning than we can anyway. And we need to not worry so much about what people are wearing or what they're saying, what they might be smoking, whatever it may be. God can take care of all of those things. The main thing is that we love them to Jesus. Let Jesus clean them up and they'll be really clean. Jesus went where others wouldn't go. He talked to a woman others would not talk to. He offered her the free gift of salvation. He lovingly confronted her about her sin. And He revealed Himself to her in down in verses 24, 25, 26. Of course, verse 24 is very familiar. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. They're talking about where worship takes place. And verse 25, the woman says, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. In verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. I am the Messiah. And we have the message to reveal to others as they see Christ in us. They see His life portrayed in ours. I think about the song, May Christ Be Seen in Me. Oh, take me, fill me, use me. May Christ be seen in me. And that's, our lives ought to be a living testimony that people can see what's going on and want what we have in Jesus Christ. Is Christ revealed in our lives? We need to ask Him to make us a fit vessel for the Master's use, and then Jesus will be revealed through our lives to the world around us. So Jesus revealed Himself to her, and I think one other point we could make here is Jesus thrived on winning souls to Christ and doing His Father's will. If you look down to verse 31, the disciples, of course, had gone off for food, and they came back with the food and begged Jesus to eat. But He says in verse 32, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And the disciples were confused about that. He goes down in verse 34, says, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Do we consider soul winning to be our necessary food? As Job put it, Job 23:12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Do we get excited when someone accepts Jesus Christ as Savior? Do we pray for folks when we hand them a tract and they seem interested, or whether they seem interested or not? Do we pray for those folks? And are we excited? Are we working to see people saved? Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It's not about me. It's all about Him. So Jesus here we see just several short thoughts about how He went about soul winning. He went where some other people may not go. He talked to a woman that many people would not have talked to. He offered her the free gift of salvation. He lovingly confronted her sin, and He revealed Himself to her. We can reveal Christ to others in our lives, and He thrived on winning souls and doing His Father's will. As we have for the last few weeks, I mentioned a few minutes ago, I'd like to close the meeting this evening with a time of corporate prayer. Those of you who would like to come forward can go ahead and start making your way towards the altar. If you want to pray at your seat, you can do that as well. But you would just want to close with a time of prayer for our theme for the year, Church Without Walls, that we will indeed be a church without walls, that we will break down all the barriers individually and as a church that would prevent us from reaching our community with the love of Christ. And so, at this time, if you'd like to come forward to the altar, pray together. We'll have a time of silent prayer. I encourage you to be praying during this time. And then we'll finish with prayer together.